I would like to call the meeting of the Senate Environmental Quality Committee to order. We have one bill on our agenda. It's back, AB 2153, by Assemblymember Garcia. Please present.
Oh, would you like to take the quorum?
Let's establish a quorum. I apologize. Please call the roll.
Senators Wykowski?
Aye, here.
Wykowski here. Gaines?
Mr. Gaines? Yes. Senator Gaines?
Present.
Are you here?
Gaines here. Bates?
Here.
Bates here. Hill?
Here.
Hill here. Jackson?
Here.
Jackson here. Leno?
Here.
Leno here. Pavley?
Here.
Pavley here.
Okay. All right, please. Assemblymember Garcia.
Thank you, Chairman and members. The only reason I'm here today is because I refuse to let events like Exide continue to affect families and children without a promise of a recourse. I see and live with the urgency of this cleanup every time I go home. It's extremely personal. The amendments today reflect extensive negotiations between the administration, leadership from both houses, and stakeholders. I sit before you with the industry, environmental groups, retailers, environmental justice groups, counties, and consumer attorneys all in support. This bill has found merit with all these different interests, as they too have dedicated an enormous amount of time and work. This bill is exactly what we set it out to do: create a continuous funding source so that cleanup is guaranteed for all affected areas. Codify the retail take-back system to ensure consumers are protected. I've committed to ensuring these communities get the relief and answers to years of contamination that bad actors and even the state has allowed to happen. These families cannot live another year in these conditions without guaranteed recourse. They have put their faith in us, and it is our responsibility to address and rectify the damages done to these communities.
Assemblymember, don't we have $176 million that the governor has put up? Isn't this fund set up to repay the money?
So it's going to take between $500 million to $1 billion to clean up the contamination related to Exide. $176 million is a loan. It's part of the funding. It would allow us to do the testing of the 10,000 households
in phase one. But your statement is that if we didn't do anything, that we could start to clean up. We can't go through 176.
No. My statement is that we want to guarantee recourse for all the families and not just those that are in phase one.
Please continue.
I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Do you have any witnesses in support of 2153?
Jane Williams, California Communities Against Toxics. And your question is very apropos, but it should be noted that the money that the governor approved is only to be spent within the 1.7 mile radius, and it looks as though we could be talking about 5 square miles, because it's not just contributions from lead from Exide, but from other closed secondary lead smelters. And there's 15 of these smelters across the state, one here in Sacramento, 3 in San Francisco, 1 in Oakland, and 7 in Los Angeles. So the battery fee funding mechanism is not just to solve the Exide problem, but hopefully to solve other lead smelter problems that we may have in the state as well.
Okay.
So others
in support?
Are you done?
We have witnesses in support of 2153.
Sorry, Melissa Romero with Californians Against Waste. Good evening, Chair and members. I just want to thank Assemblymember Garcia and her staff for working on this issue. They've worked with us, and they've taken care of all of the concerns that we previously had. I also want to thank Senate Environmental Quality staff for working really hard on this bill, and we're really glad to have gotten to the point where we can support. I also want to extend support for from NRDC. Thanks.
Thank you very much for that. Those are your two primary witnesses, Ms. Garcia. Is that correct?
Yes.
So other people, if they in support of the measure, if they would lend their name, affiliation, and position of support, and perhaps these are still supporting, I assume.
I'll go ahead.
Okay, cool.
Gary Conover, representing California Automotive Wholesalers Association, Auto Care Association. They're your local auto supply stores that do sell batteries to the public, and strong support.
Thank you very much, Gary.
Angie Minetti with the California Retailers Association, appreciative of the assembly members' work on this issue, and we are happy to support.
Thank you.
Joe Lang, representing the Battery Council International, and we are in support.
Good, great.
Ed Behrens on behalf of the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors in support.
Jenna Price on behalf of the California League of Conservation Voters. We are in support.
Anyone else in support?
Let's hear from opposition. Is anybody opposed to 2153?
Mr. Chairman, members, yes. Good evening. David Wolf with the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. We're opposed to the bill today. Members, let me just start by saying that we do sympathize with what's going on with Exide in the Assemblywoman's District, and we do understand the problems therein. And members, if this bill was simply limited to Exide and maybe even limited to the $1 fee on consumers and the $1 fee on manufacturers that was in the bill prior to these most recent amendments, and it was, and like I said, just limited to Exide, I might not even be sitting here right now. But members, the bill is not just limited to that. And the concern that we have is while the manufacturer's fee is slated to sunset in 2022, it would then be added to the $1 consumer fee, increasing it to $2, but also therein making that fee permanent. It gets rid of the sunset entirely. And we would argue, much as the car tax AB 8 in 2013 did, this litany of fees does constitute a tax increase per the provisions of Prop 26. Members, let me underscore here, for this to be a legitimate fee under the California Constitution, there needs to be, quote, a direct benefit to the payer, not provided those not charged. Perhaps if all taxpayers equally mishandled their car batteries and created as much pollution as the Exide battery facility, a case could be made for an appropriate direct benefit and a fee therein. But members, that fee rationale does not exist. And so the definition of tax per Proposition 26 applies. And that language reads, any change in state statute that leads to any taxpayer paying a higher tax requires a two-thirds vote of the legislature. This bill does have an urgency clause. It does require a two-thirds vote. But we believe the Ledge Council boilerplate language for a tax increase should be in this bill, and it's not. And the fact that the tax is permanent going forward after 2022 only makes this case stronger. Finally, members, it's worth noting that with a record $125 billion general fund budget, why this mitigation, which we do believe is appropriate for the Exide battery facility, can't be funded out of the general fund. And with that, I'd ask for a no vote.
Others opposed to?
Mr. Chairman, members, I think we're the only other listed opposition. I represent Cometco, which is the nation's largest recycler of lead-acid batteries, and a firm believer in the principle that the polluter should pay, and with a record of an established record of paying our share of those costs. We think that the as a policy matter, it would have been useful in this bill to address the issue of where we are exporting pollution from batteries, and we asked for consideration about ensuring that that batteries that are manufactured, consumed, used, and discarded in California should at least be disposed of and recycled under the same kinds of strict environmental conditions that that apply in the United States and not elsewhere. Small matter. More important concern, I think, is we continue to be concerned that the it is the mechanism for funding this particular fund is. Shifts the responsibility to consumers and not from polluters and doesn't really make a significant dent in the problem.
Do you think that the fund at $2 is adequate to address the challenges that we have with recycling batteries?
I think there's two problems.
Cleanup.
Yeah, one is that we think the estimates of $16-32 million a year are very excessive based on what we think battery sales in California actually are. So the assumptions about how much revenue this produces, I think, are probably, in our view, overstated. But beyond that, I think the analysis lays out a pretty good description of what is, and others who have testified here, of what it's really going to cost to clean up orphan sites. And so I think that's an additional problem that $2 is not going to solve.
Thank you. All right. Let's turn it back to the committee. Questions of the author? Senator Gaines.
I just wanted to see if I could get clarification in some of the language, and maybe we can get clarification from the committee here. But it was brought to my attention that in the bill itself, there's a definition for business, and then it says except a city, county, district, commission, state. So it's basically saying that government is excluded. And then it looks like on page 6, the definition of a person includes a city, county, commission, state, or government agency. So I think you need to clarity. Maybe we're misinterpreting it, but I'd like to see if there's clarity in the language. It looks like it's being added in one case and excluded in another case.
Senator Gaines, if it's okay, I'm going to have my chief of staff answer that question for you. It's a little technical for me at this hour. Thank you.
Sure. So in our bill, we have two different fees. We have the California battery fee, which applies to persons, which is why there's a different definition under person that includes those entities that you listed. And then we also have a manufacturer battery fee, which references the term business, which is why those entities were excluded in that definition. Does that make sense?
So it sounds like then one of the fees is being paid by government agencies?
If they purchase batteries, correct.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you for clarification.
Thank you. Others have questions? Senator Pavlik.
I would be glad to move the bill if that's appropriate, and I'll share with you why, and if you want me to hold off, I can do
No, that's...
Sort of, maybe it's Shakespearean, but desperate times call for desperate measures. It's unbelievable what is going on down there, frankly, for our state and the people who live there. So I've been following the $178 million, and they're testing soils everywhere. And these families find out through their testing and results that there's a higher than safe level of lead in their soils around their homes. There's no relocation costs. They're not moving out. They tell them, wait, we can't clean up your soil until everyone's tested. Everyone's tested. So just wait till June or July of next year. Now, this is not like Aliso Canyon where we had SoCal Gas who caused the accident. We could point a finger and they paid for the relocation. This is a lot more complicated, but we're allowing families with little kids who are going to be around lead-filled soil for 2 or 3 years, and as a teacher, and I'm very concerned about kids' exposure to lead and mercury and their neurological problems later on in life, this is not acceptable. And so I know this is a late-hour bill, but applaud Assemblymember Garcia for continuing to not let us ignore the problem. It is too easy to ignore the problem. Is this the perfect solution? Probably not. Is it a step in the right direction? Yes. But as we're sitting here today, these families who have found out several months ago that their lead levels are too high, your kids can't go outside, don't touch the soil, keep your windows closed. That's not okay either, and there's no relocation monies. These families should be relocated, all these areas cleaned up. It's not just here, it's in other parts of the state, and it's the lessons learned on land use planning and exposure to toxics. Local governments, frankly, share a big responsibility in this problem, as well as state agencies. So, not a perfect solution. Is it addressed? The concern, yes, should it be focused on the next few years? Absolutely. But every day we delay, those families are still sitting there. Yeah. And we're going to pay health care costs for these kids for decades to come. So I ask for your eye vote.
Hang on, let me go to Senator Leno. I know we're worried.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do want to express my appreciation to you, Assemblywoman, as author, and I have every
belief that your intent here is only to address the deplorable situation for your constituents and our constituents, but Mr. Chair, would it be appropriate to go through the analysis's suggested amendments? Because they raise a lot of questions for me, and I'd also be interested in getting someone like the League of Conservation Voters' response to the suggested amendments as well. But before we get to that, I want to, if I may, ask Senator Pavley, whose opinion I always so greatly value, if I'm not understanding something here, given the $176 million that we have agreed to loan, the analysis points out that the bill will generate a maximum of $32 million a year. It will take at least 6 years to repay the general fund loan and at least another 10 years to address the current estimated cost for remediation around Exide. Given that it's going to take at least 6 years, if we put this in place tonight, to repay the general fund loan, and given all of the other concerns the analysis points out, do you see a necessity to take action now with all these concerns and unanswered questions, given that even if we do move this forward, it's going to take 6 years to get even beyond what the loan's going to do? So what does this do beyond?
As I said, it's not the ultimate solution. It needs a lot more work. But I think the author and also Senator Witkowski and his staff's opinion are directly relevant here. I'm just trying to highlight how important this problem this is, and didn't want to go home and have this addressed again in January. If there's some steps we can take to move this into a final conclusion. Otherwise, we're just testing, and I'll tell you, the results aren't good. So we'll get back the money from the testing eventually, but we haven't solved the problem in the long term.
And can I and just the loan piece alone?
Well, through the chair, of course, but and Assemblywoman, if you could help give your response to the suggested amendments, because I do remember the hearing we had a month or so ago, and I understand some of the decisions made at that hearing have now been reversed in the current version of the bill.
Ms. Garcia.
So the $176 million loan, this bill doesn't require we pay that first. It allows that we pay that at any point in the process, so we don't have to do that. The BOE has given us an estimate of between $32 to $40 million a year. If we wanted to repay that first, that's about 4 years to begin with, but we're not required to do that, and I hope we don't go in that direction, actually, since the need is pretty large out there. As far as the amendments are concerned, I mean, I plan to stay committed to this issue because I live in this region. This is my backyard. My sister and I always joke that we would be geniuses if we didn't grow up where we did. Because we know that this affects the child's development, so I grew up in this area, too. But we have a deal today where the administration is in agreement, but they refuse to take any further amendments. They refuse to negotiate on anything else. We've been working with stakeholders, and there's a lot of other things I would have liked in here, too, and trying to compromise at a late hour. All I could commit to is to continue to work on this next year and stay on top of this. And it's not just Exide. We have 14 other sites in the state that need some additional cleanup, and so this would be a lifeline for us to continue to consider that, because right now that's not even on the table. So that's on the two amendments that are in front of me. That's the situation I'm in right now.
I hear it. I think we've all been in that situation, so I feel your pain. How was it decided that after 5 years the manufacturer's $1 goes away and the consumer's is doubled to $2? And the limitations that it can only, if I understand this correctly, this is bottom of page 7 of the analysis, that the fund can only be used for the following activities that are related to contamination by the operation of a lead acid battery recycling facility when there are other aspects of contamination to be dealt with. How did it get so limited?
Yes. So your first question was language given to us by the administration on the 5 years. Initially, it wasn't. It was dollar for a dollar with the consumer, a dollar with the manufacturers, and they went in hand continuously. And as we've struggled to come to a compromise with the negotiation, that was something that they were unwilling to move from. On the second piece, yes, we have other issues. This is not the only thing that contaminates these households at times. And there's other funds we could try to tap into. For example, with the lead paint, we could try to tap into federal dollars. So we're doing both things at the same time. We do see what's the point of cleaning up the dirt when we're going to leave the paint there. So we have other mechanisms to try to pull it from. The decision in the compromising part of the rationale was that there are enough sites to clean with the site we have, not just X-Head, but the 14 other sites that still need to be cleaned, as we heard earlier.
Thank you.
As long as we're on page 7, I know you submitted a letter to the journal regarding that further delaying the funding for cleanup by choosing a costly path of litigation with an uncertain outcome against battery manufacturers or other parties who are not owners or operators of the battery recycling facilities, that the state chooses instead a collaborative approach. It seems a bit premature given that we haven't had a hearing here, and that it suggests that the battery manufacturers were relieving them of liability. Can you tell me your motivation to do that earlier today before we had this hearing?
And we were sharing information. That letter clearly won't be printed if this bill doesn't pass. Mm-hmm. Sharing risk-closing information. I do believe in having ways that we have collaborative decisions, but the letter does not impede any lawsuits from happening. I'm not the decision maker there. And there's been a lot of discussion about making sure that we're not removing liability. A lot of experts have worked on that language. And so I have an opinion about trying to figure it out in other ways, because sometimes litigation could take 10, 20 years. Yeah. And in the meantime, we continue to just have these families live.
No, that's a different question. And it's a confusing time at the late hour. Yeah. That's just another little element.
Yes.
All right. Any other questions? Senator Gaines.
I'll keep this very brief, but if I could just get clarification from Mr. Wolf in terms of the tax implication. Are you describing the tax as a legal tax or not? I guess that's what I'm...
Undesirable.
Senator Gaines, thank you for the question. Proposition 26 set up 5 different fee exemptions that would create a legitimate and appropriate fee situation. And I think the one that applies here, again, is a direct benefit to the payer, not provided those not charged. And again, for reasons as I stated in my testimony, I don't think there is a direct benefit to the payer in this instance. And, thereby, I do believe that even though this is a bunch of fees in this, much as, again, AB 8 in 2013, the car tax, which a lot of members in this room remember, I do think it does require a 2/3 vote per the California Constitution. Senator Pavley, though, even outside of the urgency declaration, still think it requires a 2/3 vote.
Okay, thank you for the clarification. Appreciate it.
We have a motion. You may close.
I will take Senator Pavley's comments as my closing comments. Thank you. I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Please call the roll.
AB 2153 by Assemblymember Christina Garcia. The motion is due pass. Senators Wykowski?
Aye.
Wykowski, aye. Gaines?
No.
Gaines, no. Bates?
No.
Bates, no. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Leno?
Aye.
Leno, aye. Pavley?
Aye.
Pavley, aye.
The matter passes 5-2. We're adjourned.
Oh, wait, can I request immediate transmittal to the floor?
No, I think
yes.
Thank you.